Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, my name is Caleb, and just so thankful to serve alongside the other pastor elders at the church, and thankful to serve you all. Truly a joy to be one of your pastor elders, and sincerely glad you could all be here with us this morning, whether this is your first time or you've been here since the beginning. We're here to worship the Lord, and we're going to worship Him through His Word. And before we kind of begin, I just want to talk about peace. And here's a sober reminder for all of us, because peace seems so unattainable in our world, in a world marked by war. As we look at the Russia and Ukraine conflict, the Palestinians and Israelites, and this doesn't include, and these are the ones that are prominent in our lives, but this doesn't include the other 35 armed conflicts around the world we don't hear about. So we have war, we have hatred and unrest, we have terrorism. I mean, even years ago, men willing to take planes and crash them into buildings, killing thousands. We have riots willing to burn down whole communities, as we experienced over COVID. College campuses erupting with anti-Semitism. Political unrest. A young man just recently was willing to climb a building, take a rifle, and try to kill a man because of their political or whatever differences they were there. Senseless violence. What was once a novelty at Columbine, a school shooting, has become a fixture in our society, marked by 16 a year since. Distress, according to the Pew Research about our youth, 42 experience persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness, up from 28% in 2011. 22% seriously consider attempting suicide, up from 16% in 2011. And historically, the youth have had a low risk or rate of suicide mortality, but that began to change about a decade ago. And today, youth and young adults account for about 15%, 52% increase since 2000. And we haven't even got to the inner turmoil that is so prevalent in our culture, anxiety, depression, and mental health issues. And sadly, I would say that we aren't immune to this. Many of us suffer as well. And I would say we suffer from what is a lack of peace. And this morning, my hope is not to guilt you, but to point you to peace. So as Paul talks about here, you can experience the blessing and peace of Christ. And so we're going to be looking at 2 Thessalonians 3:16 through 18. And so if you have your Bibles, open up there. If you don't have a Bible, as we said before, there's some in the lobby. Please feel free to go get one of those. And we would also like you to have that if you don't have one at home. That is a gift from us to you. And as we look at Paul's word, it says this: "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all." And at first, this could appear kind of trite, especially to this church, because as we look at the context, as we've looked throughout, what they are facing is both external conflict as they are being persecuted and afflicted by those around them. There's internal conflict as well, as false and deceptive teachings, particularly concerning Jesus' return, has led to conflict within the church, to some living disorderly lives, as we looked at last week, out of step with the gospel, causing conflict and undermining the work of the church and the witness of the church. And so we also can't even, and as we look at the external and internal within the church conflicts, we can't imagine the inner turmoil that must be happening among them. We can't see, but we can probably imagine. And almost elicits a sarcastic response here to Paul's blessing and peace. Right, Paul. And yet they knew, and we should know, Paul is never trite. And this is no platitude, but this is truth. Truth that reveals peace is not elusive even in the most dire of circumstances. You see, we can have peace, and we should know that we are blessed. And so the question comes not if we can have peace, but why? Why don't we have peace? And why don't we know that we are truly blessed? And we'll look at this morning in 2 Thessalonians 3:16 through 18. So once again, I just invite you, if you have your Bibles, open up there. And we're going to be looking at Paul's blessing of peace and how we can have peace and know that ultimately we are blessed. But before we go any further, would you just join me once again in prayer? Lord God, as the waters fall from the sky to nourish the soil, the plants, Lord God, I pray that your word would fall upon us this morning and nourish our souls. Lord, as we talked about, I'm sure many of us come in here with inner turmoil, anxiety, depression, or whatever may be going on, or facing external conflicts, whether at work or at home or wherever that may be, or internal conflicts with others here, maybe even at the church. Lord God, I just pray that you would point us to the place where we can experience restoration, we can experience rest, we can experience your peace. And so help us just to see. Holy Spirit, illuminate for us the text to see with new eyes what you would have for us. Amen. So we're going to start in verse 16, and I'm just going to read that once again. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and every way. The Lord be with you all. So the first reason for a lack of peace is we are searching in all the wrong places. The mantra of our culture is that we are blessed and can have peace once we have the house. Once we have the car, the job, the location, the promotion, the notoriety, the money. Once we reach the milestone. Once my kids have succeeded, their sports, their events, their education, that I have given these things to them. Once we reach the weekend, go on vacation, retire, fill in the blank. What is the place that you are searching for peace from? That you feel if you have, then you'll be able to stand up and say, you know, I am blessed. You see, we're searching and seeking to find peace in the things of this world. And here's the reality about this peace. It's temporal. And so in many ways, it's passing, it's fading. Either it ages or you do. And the ultimate conundrum concerning the things of this world, the things that we want to put our blessing and peace in, is you can't take it with you when you die. It's limited. And so it's passing, it's fading, it's also changing. The things that are desirable according to the world are always in flux. I mean, who's wearing bell bottoms today? That was cool, and that has come back, and it will come back again, right? But there's these trends of what our world says you need to have in order to know that you are blessed. As a kid, it was baseball cards or Pokemon cards, right? Which is just a piece of cardboard with a picture on it. Beanie Babies. Right? Housing. The decor of our houses. Joanna Gaines, white paint, right? Clothing. This one drives me nuts. I already alluded to it, but the bell bottoms and stuff. It's just always changing because they just want you to buy more. Bitcoin, all these new things, right? Ever chasing after and ever changing. And so we have their passing, they're changing, and they're not guaranteed. It can be snatched from your hands in the blink of an eye. Just think of war. Talking to my grandma about World War II, she was engaged. This came out as a family, in our family, that she was engaged. And they got engaged. I don't know who this gentleman was, but he ended up passing away in the war. COVID. In an instance, one day we're all just mingling together like normal and then snatched from us. And I'm sure in so many ways we've experienced these things in our lives where things have just been taken. A car crash. Whatever it is. And so they're not guaranteed. They're never satisfying. The peace of this world is like a man dying of thirst surrounded by a sea of salt water. We're surrounded by a sea of opportunities and things that at first glance appear like they will satisfy our thirst. The thirst of our souls for blessing and peace. And we are told it's pure water that it will satisfy. But as we consume it, it only exacerbates the situation because the satisfaction only lasts for a moment, leaving us to thirst for more and more as it dehydrates and shrivels our insides, our souls. And you consume more in the hope that maybe this time it will satisfy me. This time it will fulfill me. This time it will quench the thirst. But it isn't. And it just leads to the cycle of more and more and more and seeking for other and more things to fill our lives with. And this turmoil continues till our eyes are opened or we die. But instead, let me offer you pure, potable peace, living water. Verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace. You see, the source is not found in the things of this world, but in the Lord of peace, Jesus Christ himself. You see, the one who is prophesied about in Luke 1:79, it says, to guide our feet in the way of peace. The one whose birth caused the heavenly hosts to break forth in a choir of praise. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased, those who believe in him. And so he's prophesied as the Lord of peace in heaven and on earth, and at his coming he brought peace. If you go and read Mark 4:35 through 5:43, I would say that just read Mark 4 through chapter 5, and what you see is he commands the raging storm to stop with these words, peace, be still. Jesus then sets free the man possessed and tormented by a legion, thousands of demons, bringing peace to his life. Then you see Jesus heals the woman who bled insufferably for 12 years and declares to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. And Jesus raises a father's dead little girl back to life. Can you imagine the peace? And so he is the Lord of peace. And in his hands is the power to give peace over creation, the demonic disease, and even death itself. And Jesus, the Lord of peace, has the power to give us peace as we have faith in him. And not only does he give it, John 14:27 says this, peace I leave you with. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And Paul says in Philippians 4:4-7, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. We can pray to him. And look at what it says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You can't even comprehend it. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is the Lord of peace. He's the giver of peace. And he guarantees our peace. And so the reason you don't have peace is because you're looking elsewhere. And what I would say to you, Christian, is turn to Jesus. The Lord of peace. The source of peace. The giver of peace. And the one who guarantees peace. Because his peace is not passing but eternal. It's not changing, but unchanging. It's not uncertain, but guaranteed. And it's not unsatisfying, but pure, fulfilling, and nourishing to our souls when we trust in him. So we see Jesus as the source, the giver, and guarantee of peace. And we look to him. Because look at verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times. In every way, at all times, in every way. Remember the context of this church, suffering, persecution, and affliction, false teaching, conflict within the church. Put yourself there for a moment. Imagine people refusing to do business with you, to hire you. You couldn't provide for your families, maybe, because of the difficulty. Kicking your kids out of school, harassing and beating you in the streets, threatening to kill you. And the police do nothing about it because ultimately they're the ones who may be doing this. Then at church, there are disorderly who are causing an uproar and conflict in the church, ultimately living in opposition to Christ. And now you are called to confront them and discipline them by not associating with them. And maybe they are the closest friends you've ever had. Just put yourself there. What would you say to Paul? Take your peace and, I don't know. This is not a time of peace or for peace, Paul. Yet verse 16, here's what he says to this church. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way. You see, this peace isn't temporal, and it's not based upon our circumstances, our hardships, our successes, our failures, our sufferings, the riches we may or may not have in this world. This peace is bound to Jesus Christ and our relationship to him. And so do you believe in Jesus as your Savior? And we're going to delve into that a little bit more. And do you believe in Jesus as your Lord? Your Lord. Do you live in light of Jesus as your Savior and Lord now? Do you not just believe, but do you now live in light of that? You know, and it's to lead us, as we saw last week, to work hard. Right? As an example to others and to this world, to show them the beauty of the gospel. And we work hard not to earn peace, as we'll talk about later, but as a result of the peace we already have. You see, I think of my daughters. Like, why would I want them to do their chores? Is it because they know dad's going to come down with wrath? Or they need to earn my favor and love? Or it's because they go, Dad, I love you, and I know you want this to be clean. I think I'd choose the latter. Now, there are times, right, where as a parent you do have to come down. And the Lord does discipline his children. But he cares about our motivations. He cares about our hearts. And so now this peace is found in the Lord and at all times in every way. And then look at this, what he says. The Lord be with you all. The Lord be with you all. When you are in a time of upheaval, conflict, right, inner turmoil, or the world seems to be falling apart around you, what is the most common lies that comes in the midst of suffering? I'm alone. And what is more comforting in these moments than someone who comes alongside you and says, you're not alone? Someone who loves you deeply, who says, I am with you. This is Jesus. You see, you need to know that Jesus, and you need to know that he is with you. His words testify to this in John 14, 18. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And that whole passage is about his Holy Spirit. And so he comes to us by sending the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to dwell in us. So he's not just with us, he is in us. How much more personal of a relationship can you get that God dwells in you? And he is working to change and transform, to convict and encourage, bringing you to a greater love of God and to a greater worship of God for your joy and his glory. And part of this whole gospel message is that we would become and be brought to a greater peace in him. You see, you are not alone because God dwells in you. And you are not alone because the Lord has not just dwelt in you, but he dwells in all of us, and he has gathered us together through his gospel. And so the Lord has established his church, which is to be a community of local believers marked by the Holy Spirit. You see, and it says in Matthew that where two or three gathered, he is there with us. You see, God is with us personally, but he's also like supernaturally here with us. He's at work in some of your lives as we speak. convicting and encouraging. And as a church, we are to walk with each other through suffering and sin, join in the work of the Holy Spirit to encourage one another. And so I want to say to you, wherever you are at, whether you believe or not, whether you are mature or immature, whether you know your Bibles backwards and forwards, or you don't even know where to begin, we want to walk with you. Whatever the hardship may be in your life, we want to walk with you. Whatever sin you may be struggling with, we want to walk with you. That's why God has placed us here, to walk with one another, to encourage one another, to let you know that you are not alone, and to remind each other the presence of God that dwells in us and with us. And so know, you are not alone. You have a church and you have Jesus Christ, the Lord of peace, who sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, in us, to know this peace. I find that so reassuring. And so, Christian, have peace. Have peace. And then look at verse 17. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. And what we see here is Paul is authenticating this letter in light of the false letters being falsely attributed to Paul that are seeking to spread false teaching. And you see that in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 2. Let me just read that. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, to not be in turmoil, to not lack peace, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seemingly to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. You see, the Thessalonians aren't at peace because false teachings have infiltrated the church. They are believing lies about the Lord, his gospel, and ultimately and particularly his coming, leading them to be quickly shaken and alarmed. That doesn't sound like a life marked by peace. And it's because they believe the lies. And so why don't you have peace? Why don't you know you are blessed? Because you believe the lies. False teachings, false understandings have infiltrated your life, whether from the culture, news media, YouTube, TikTok, or wherever, or from supposed teachers or theologians who have a degree and have a doctor next to their name, but what they teach is far from the Lord. You see, they're given platforms because it is in line with what the world, or what we want to hear, with the cultural narrative, whatever we want and desire. And here's the thing, whatever we want to believe, there's probably a teacher out there somewhere who supports it. And the question is in that circumstance, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? It's you. Because you would rather believe the lie than experience and know the truth of Christ and his peace. It's no wonder you don't have peace, because you don't have Christ. Because you have failed to authenticate it against the true word of God. And this points us back to the Bereans in Acts 17. They received and examined the word that was given to them to see if it was true. And this is what we are to do: authenticate, test what we hear. And so this morning, authenticate, test what you are hearing from me. Examine it. And examine it against God's word. Because in these words are life. Right? God sent his Son to give us life, and he reveals that in his word so that we can have that life. So we aren't left guessing. We're not just figuring it out for ourselves. And it's not mystical, but it's truth that reveals our Lord, the only one we know can give us peace. And so we are to dig into God's word, and we are to live our lives in line with it. And so where our lives are at odds with God's word, we're to repent. We're to repent. We're to turn from it and turn to God and his ways. And we're to conform our lives to the word. Not his word to our lives, what we wish to be true, but what he desires for us. You see, he is to be the Lord. He is to rule and reign over our lives. And so how are we to experience peace if we reject the ways of the Lord? Which ultimately means we reject the Lord of peace. And this is the beauty of God's word. Just we should fall in love with this thing because he has revealed to us everything we need. Not necessarily everything we want, but everything we need in order to live faithfully in devotion to him, to have life, and to have peace even despite our circumstances. So you want peace? To know that you are blessed, delve into the Lord's word and let it transform and change the way that you think and the way that you live, because ultimately he's bringing us in line with his way, the Lord's way, which leads to life and peace. And this brings us to verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Why don't you have peace? Why don't you know you are blessed? You don't know grace. You don't know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is with you. Grace, I'm just going to give several different ways to think about it here. Grace means unmerited favor. So you can't earn it. And it's getting what you don't deserve. So getting what you don't deserve, it is a gift. It's a gift to be received. And some of us may be living in rejection of this grace, trying hard in our best power to earn the approval of others, to earn the approval of ourselves, or trying to earn the approval of God, or trying to earn peace in our lives through the things of this world. We're just grasping and earning and seeking to live in our own power. And what this is just living under this constant burden of being accepted and earning favor. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to lift a weight that is too heavy for you, that keeps coming down and crushing your chest. And you can't get out from under it. Always wondering if you have enough, or if you've reached the end, or if you need to get more, if you're good enough, or if you did enough, or someone approves of you, if you're smart enough, charismatic enough, if people like you enough. And I just want to tell you, this graceless life will just leave you flattened, steamrolled. And I want to reassure you, you aren't good enough. Just know that. You aren't good enough for God in your own power, in your own ways. You see, the grace of his gospel is this, that you aren't good enough. The grace of his gospel is that it's not a reward to be earned or a prize to be won because you are so exceptional. You see, you can't win it, no matter your greatest efforts. You can't take it in your own power, because your sin, no matter how hard you try, you can't make up for it. You can't lift it. You can't undo it. You can't overcome it. Listen to the words of Paul in Ephesians 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. So before Christ, you walked in this, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is work at the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, or maybe we're now living, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body, given over to our fleshly desires, and the mind, just thinking whatever thoughts come to our mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. In your sin, before Jesus, you are a son or daughter of disobedience. And what you earned proved yourself worthy of is God's wrath. That's what you've earned. That's the hard work of your sin and the prize you get if you rely on yourself, if you seek to earn God's favor. Because listen to the next part, and thank goodness for this. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when He looked down on you in your lowly position, unworthy of anything He could give us. Despite that, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable, you can't measure it, riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus, the Lord of peace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You haven't earned it. You can't earn it. But in Jesus you have a Savior who did the hard work. He made up for it. He lifted it. He undid it. And He overcame our sin. And He earned. He won our salvation. Through His death on the cross, it was there that our sins were placed on Him and God's wrath was poured out on Him, so that we were no longer children of wrath, but now made sons and daughters of the God Most High. This is the gift. And we only receive it as we believe, as we have faith, as we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. You want peace? Look no further than the gospel, than the grace of God, the good news, the best news of Jesus Christ. Amen? And not only does Jesus, the Lord of peace, give and guarantee us peace now as He is with us and as we follow His word and as He gives us His grace, but as so much of the book of 2 Thessalonians is focused on, there will come a day when Jesus will return and bring perfect, pure, unending peace. Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. You see, He brings peace to creation and to all things. For the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He wants to be with us. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Christian, you have peace. At least you should. And you need to know, as Paul closes this, that in Christ, you are so blessed. Beyond even the magnitude of this world and what it can comprehend. And He will come to make all things right, to undo all the war, the conflict, all the bad things of this world. And He will bring us peace by His grace. It is a gift. And so, Christian, have peace. Know that you are blessed. Will you pray with me? Lord God, I pray that we would be thoroughly encouraged this morning. You, Lord, are over all things, and I just pray that you would be over our lives, and that in you we would find the peace that we are so longing for, so searching for. And Lord, as we go into this world that's filled with such tumult, such conflict, such inner turmoil, God, would we shine as lights to give people so they may know the Lord of peace and experience his immeasurable grace and mercy, life, and that they would be at peace in Christ. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.